I'm going to ask you to turn this morning to Matthew, the sixth chapter. We are finishing up this series on the Lord's Prayer. 13 weeks we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. And then to that we add, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So how does one define the glory of God? What words would you use to describe God's glory? I came across this quote that I want to share with you this morning. The glory of God is the beauty of His Spirit. It is not an aesthetic beauty or a material beauty, but it is the beauty that emanates from His character, from all that He is. What is the glory of God? Jesus said, "Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." I want to look at this in two ways this morning. First of all, I wanted to look at the tangible, manifested glory of God. The manifested glory of God that, first of all, the Bible tells us is evident. The children of Israel have left Egypt, and they're journeying to the promised land. And if you remember, by day there was a cloud by day, and by night there was a pillar of fire. It represented the presence of God, the manifested presence of God that was dwelling among them. But then there was also a manifestation, not just of the presence of God, but of the glory of God. In Exodus chapter 24, where God is getting ready to give Moses the Ten Commandments, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children." God had manifested His glory. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." In Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is receiving his call to be a prophet to the nation of Israel, in verses 1 and 2, he talks about seeing these angels, these seraphim, who were flying about, and they have 6 wings. And he says, "With 2 they covered with their face, and 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew, and they were crying out." In verse 3 says, "They cried to one another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." So there is a manifested, evident presence of the glory of God. It is not just, God's here, but the Bible tells us that there is a glory of God in which God shows up in such power that it becomes evident to us. It's a glory that can be felt. In Exodus chapter 40, they have erected the tabernacle of God, and Moses and Aaron have offered sacrifices to God. And verse 34 of Exodus 40 says this, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon has dedicated the temple, And verses 10 and 11 says this, "It came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." God's glory can be so evident and so present that the weight of it, the power of it, is so strong that all we can do is just almost step back in awe. It's tangible. There is a real glory of God that is tangible. Moses, after coming down from the mountain and seeing that the children of Israel had erected a golden calf, he broke the Ten Commandments, the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. And God tells Moses, he says, "Moses, you take the children of Israel on into the land, but I'm not going with you. Because if I go with you, my anger and my wrath is going to cause me to destroy this people." And Moses pleads with God and says to God, "We will not go unless you go with us." And finally, Moses convinces God to go with them. And in his prayer, Moses said, "If you're going to go with us," in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, he says, "If you are going to go with us, then show me your glory." Show me your glory. It can be seen. Luke chapter 9, verse 29 through 32, on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says, "As Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory." John chapter 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in chapter 2 of John, verse 11, this is right after Jesus has turned the water into wine. John wrote and said, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him." Whether you and I believe it or not, whether you and I have ever experienced it or not, whether we've ever encountered it or not, the Bible teaches that there is a manifested glory of God that can be felt, that can be seen, that can be experienced, that is so rich, that is so full, that is so heavy, that is so powerful, that we're just caught in it, and you can see it, and you just have to, you realize that this is the glory of God. So there is that aspect of God's glory that is powerful and mighty. The Old Testament calls it Shekinah, and it simply means the manifested presence of God, when God literally shows up. But there is another aspect of God's glory. What I was sharing with you in Scripture, we might call that the express manifested glory of God. But when Jesus is praying and says to his Father, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory," I believe he was saying something else. Jesus was referring to the power of God, the glory of God, and saying, "Because of who you are, I cannot help but glorify you. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory." It is when you have experienced something from God and you realize this is a gift of God's grace. This is a gift of God's glory to me. And so something begins or should begin to well up within you, a giving back of glory to God. It is a manifestation of praise and glory and thanksgiving to God based upon what He's already done and showed you. So when Jesus is praying, "Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory," in essence, He was saying, "Father, in light of everything that you've done, in light of everything that you are, of who you are, and of how you have manifested yourself and will continue to manifest yourself, I want to give you glory." I can remember a few years ago, Sherry and I went and flew into Phoenix, Arizona, and we were going to do the Four Corners, and so we wanted to visit some national parks. So the first one we went to was the Grand Canyon. We drove to the Grand Canyon, and we got there really before the ticket office had opened. So we drove in and parked the car, and we got out, and there was a sign there that said Grand Canyon with an arrow pointing that way. So I said, "Well, I want to see it." So we walked up to the Grand Canyon and walked out onto an overlook and looked down. Have any of you ever seen the Grand Canyon? Have any of you ever been to Acadia National Park in Maine? Okay. Have any of you ever been to Panama City Beach? Okay. Any of you ever been to the Smoky Mountains? Okay. Well, now, to me, when I was looking at the Grand Canyon, there were sort of three responses that went through my mind. Somebody might look at that and say, "That's just a big old ditch." Somebody else might look at it and go, "Wow, that's amazing." But the first time I saw the Grand Canyon, there wasn't really anything I could say. I was speechless. It was just like, man, if you go to Panama City Beach, and I didn't say that to be facetious, but if you go to Panama City Beach and you stand there on the sand and you look out in the water and you see all the different shades and hues of blue that it has. If you go to the Smoky Mountains and you just look at them, or you walk up to, is it Grandfather Mountain, where you have to walk up that whole path, and by the time you get there, you need oxygen, but you can look out and see like five states all around you, and you just look at it and you're like, pardon my speech, but you look at it and you go, "Oh my God, look at this. Look at this." In essence, in his prayer, Jesus is saying, "Father, when I look at you, when I look all around at what you've done, and I look at the earth and the ocean and the beauty that is here, I cannot help but say, to you belongs the glory. No one could do this but you." Almost every time I go to the ocean, and I can tell you, Sherry, because her family were immigrants, we cannot pass by an ocean without having to stop so she can roll her pants legs up and wade in it. And I stand there, and I'm reminded as we're standing there, and those waves are coming in, that the book of Job, God said this to Job. He said, "Job, where were you when I commanded the oceans, you can go this far and no more?" And for hundreds of thousands of years, the ocean has been going so far, but then it goes back. Tides come in, tides go out. Why? Because God said, you can come in, but eventually you have to go out. When you look around you and see the beauty and everything that there is, there's something has to click within you that says, God, only you could do this. Lord, I give you the glory. This is expressed in Scripture. The night in which Jesus is born, Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In Romans chapter 4, Paul tells us about Abraham, who was 100 years old, and his wife was Sarah was 90, and they still had no child. But verses 19 and 20 of Romans 4 says this about Abraham: "And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith by giving glory to God." Paul said this in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, Paul reiterated that by saying this: "As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul said, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." How can we not give glory to God? I thought about it yesterday. I was trying to take something apart, and I was twisting it with my hand, and it just dawned on me, Lord, I want to thank you that I can use my hands. I want to thank you, Lord, that I got up this morning and I can breathe and walk and my heart's still beating. I want to thank you, Lord, that that waffle Sherry made me, I was able to eat it. I want to thank you, Lord, that I got a car to drive and gas in it. Father, I want to thank you that it doesn't bother me if it rains this afternoon, because I'm under a roof that won't leak. I thank you, Lord, I'm not sleeping under a bridge tonight. I thank you, Father, for children. I thank you for grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, that I've got a little grandson in Baltimore. His mom sent me a video of him the other day, and she's moving his hand up and down going, oh. Now, I know why she's doing that. She wants us to fly him down here. I know what she's doing, and it's working. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. So we give glory to God. If there's something wrong with your glorifier, if you say, well, I don't really see anything to be thankful for. Oh, my friend, open your eyes. The earth declares the glory of God, is what the psalmist said. So when Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray this way, and he started it off with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallelujah to your name. And then he closed it by saying, because in the middle of that prayer, you know, he said some things that we need, like, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There was a lot of things packed in that middle part. But then he said, because Father, it's your kingdom. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter whether you like who's there or don't like who's there. It's his kingdom. It's his power. And Jesus said, and don't forget, give him glory. Give him glory. One of my favorite writers is C.S. Lewis. And he said this, and I quote, "A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on his cell." His glory is all around us. How we choose to respond to it is up to us. We can be negative. We can choose to focus on the problems, and we can choose to focus on the things that we don't think are right, and we can just be negative, or we can choose to give glory to God. So we're going to close, but I want to close by doing something a little different this morning. Manuel, I want you to come and be ready, because you're going to lead us in majesty. And sis, if you'll be ready, But here's what I'd like to do. I want us to take just a few minutes, and I'm watching the clock, and it's not 12. Relax. It's all right. But I want to give you an opportunity to give God glory. This is not a time to give somebody glory and I want to thank God for this person or that. This is a time for you and I to give God glory, to express in some way something that you want to give God glory for today. And I'll start it off. And I'll tell you what mine is. I want to give glory to God today because He gave me a different heart, a different attitude, a different desires. And only He could do that. And so I give Him glory for that. I give Him glory for Sherry, because God has used Sherry to help save my life. And I told her yesterday, I said, everything you've brought into my life has been good. I give God glory for that. So now, I've started it off. You've got an opportunity. What would you like to give glory to God for this morning? Go ahead. Jenny?